You're listening to Diverse City Podcast. Please stay tuned to hear a powerful word. For giving or more church information, check us out at diversecity.church. Or to text to give, text DIVERSE to 73256. Thank you for listening and enjoy the word.
That was okay. Y'all were a little bit louder for the veterans. Let's give it up for the veterans one more time. Thank you for all that you do. This is the land of the free because of our brave veterans. Please receive our token of appreciation for all that you have been able to do. Make sure you're able to grab a lunch on the way out. And also for us, please continue to let us know how everything is going. We love to do outreach, but inreach is very important to us. And through your service, your commitment, and your sacrifice, we are blessed to be able to be a blessing for all the things that you've been able to do. Amen. All right, one scripture we read this last week, and we'll read it as we start every service in November. 1, 2, 3, ready, read. Each of you should use whatever gift you have received to serve others as faithful stewards of God's grace in its various forms. Before you see it, give three people a hug and tell them, can you dig it? Can you dig it? Three people a hug, can you dig it? Yes, Lord. All right. All right. I said three, not five. Anyway, just a reminder, all my married folks, make some noise. All right, make sure you sign up for our marriage event. It's coming up next week. It's going to be off the chain. Come for a night of fun, fellowship, and as we continue to love each other much more. Hallelujah. Also to our newcomers, as we get ready to close service, please give me an opportunity to be able to introduce myself. I would love to meet you, love to hug your neck. Me or my wife, I don't know where she went, but make sure you give her some love. And I'm going to try to do a better job, too, to allow someone else to do benediction, because I don't just want to preach to you. I want to be able to build relationships. So being able to just have a quick one-minute conversation with most of the people is very powerful and very important to me as we continue to minister and go for it. Because to be completely transparent, y'all give me a lot of preaching material and a lot of things to be able to pray about, but I love y'all. We all got issues. Amen. All right, so during the month of November, we are in part two of the It Factor series. Last week, the word was big. Today, the word is increase. Now, the increase means you have to increase your responsibility. Increase means that we have to increase our investment. But as we're able to grow and sow and move forward, there's bigger, there's more available for us through increase. So last week, we talked about the story of David. One of my favorite Bible characters. I love them all. But David's one guy I really identify with. And as we talked about last week, there was 5 points we discussed related to the it factor. One is that we all have to work it. Whatever God is giving you, you got to work it. And as you work it, God is able to develop it in private. Sometimes you got to take care of sheep. Sometimes you got to take care of goats. But our responsibility is to work it. We have to have security and understand that he knows our name. We have to have security to understand that he knows where we're going, but we're responsible for working it. Number two, we talked about you have to be able to wait for it. David was anointed and had to wait years, even over a decade before he was appointed to be the king. So sometimes God has called you and what he tells you to do is just serve. And we have to be obedient and steadfast to understand that he told me to do this, and I'm responsible for waiting for God to bring it forth. I don't want to come out too fast, I don't want to come out half-baked, but I want to come out right, smelling good. The beeper is sounding on the oven, just like those cookies I had yesterday. Hallelujah. Number three, so we had to work it, we had to wait for it, and then we should grow it. Grow it. If you got it here, God gives us everything in the seed form. But through our persistence, through our consistency, it's able to get big. And after you grow it, you just got to do it. People are going to try you. People are going to hate on you. And you just got to stay committed to what God has called you to do. But then time, in due season, you have to do point number five, which is you got to pursue it. While others are flinching because of Goliath, you're going to have to pursue it and to be able to knock down to get your blessing. Amen. Should I use the mic? Or what? Say, pursue it. All right. So when we think about the it factor part two, as it goes into increase, most of us look at the life of David like, isn't he like a Bible superstar? You know what I'm saying? Like, we look at people on TV and be like, oh, man, that's pretty great. And that's David. But what about me? So I was going to move forward into a different area, but God brought me back to be able to focus and hone in on some giftings. Because many of us are sitting on our gifts. And if we don't get to work, you're going to use it. Or, I hate to say this, you may actually lose it. So we're going to talk about a passage today that we're all familiar with, the parable of talents. Anybody ever heard of that? No, raise your hand if you heard of it. Okay, half the people. It's all right. And we're going to read it from the Message Bible today. So what God says with our gifts, here's the thing, here's a good picture for you to be able to see it. God has called each of us to be a river and not a reservoir. Both of them are bodies of water. Both of them contains items. But as a river, God is able to give us stuff and it's able to flow through us. But a reservoir preserves. A reservoir keeps. And for us to be able to grow within our talents and our ability, God wants you to be a river. Who's the river? Make some noise for my river people. Oh, my Lord. All right, here we go. It's going to be that type of service. Hallelujah. Rivers understand that the Bible talks about Luke 6:38. Give and it shall be given unto us. Good measure, press down, shake it together, and running over. Rivers is what God wants each and every one of us to do. So here we go. Matthew chapter 25. Verse 14 and 15, we're going to read from the Message version. And for all my scholars, I know some people don't like the Message version, but it's going to shed some new light to elevate and challenge your thinking. It says, it's also like a man going off on an extended trip. He called his servants together, and he delegated responsibilities. I got to stop right there. Point number one. Everybody has a gift. Everybody has a gift. Say it with me. Everybody has a gift. Now, what most of us do, we try to classify and quantify what gifts is. Some of y'all are funny, and y'all don't tell enough jokes. Y'all funny on social media, and y'all get in church, and y'all become the chosen frozen. Some of y'all can cook, and y'all ain't cooking enough. But I'm telling you, on Thanksgiving, you can appreciate somebody that can cook. Hallelujah. That means stuffing. But I want some dressing. Some of y'all are gifted with being skinny. I didn't get that one. And I'm jealous of you. For real, though, y'all come in here and you look like you just got off a treadmill. And you had 3 cookies. And you had a donut. And you got coffee, and you rub it in, and you look at me, and I have to go back and reflect on my mom just said, you're just big bone, it's okay. I didn't get that gift. Some of y'all can sing. How many of y'all appreciate a praise and worship team that can sing? But what about this gift? We don't talk about this in the church. Some of y'all are charismatic. I don't see any classes on how to get charisma. But some of us just got it, and others don't. How powerful is that to recruit people to be volunteers to serve? How powerful is that for us to be able to have leaders? You're a drawer, you can collect people, and we try to put down these type of gifts because you're not called to the fivefold ministry, you're not an evangelist, you're not a preacher, you're not a teacher. All gifts are available. All gifts are required in the kingdom. And we treat our gifts just like sin, right? We say, at least I don't murder, but you lie every day. I'm not fornicating, but greed, we see it. I'm pausing for effect. We try to shift our balances. We try to compare. We try to compete. Sometimes we want to trade in the thing that we have, but God has given you a gift. And our trust will be challenged. Our trust will be upheld based on what we're going to do with it. Say, I got a gift. Go back to the text. It should be the next slide. So God delegates responsibility. Not you, not your parents, not your coworker, but it's God that determines the gift you have. And then he goes on to say, to one he gave 5,000, five stacks, whatever. To another he gave 2,000. And to the third he gave 1,000. But here's the part I like. Depending on their abilities. Some of y'all know y'all get 5,000, y'all gonna turn up, y'all are not gonna show up in church, y'all not gonna tithe, you ain't giving no offering. Matter of fact, where my soldiers at real quick? Where my three soldiers at? Where y'all at? Get up here. Attention! That was pretty bad. Dang. Hold up. Let's go. Hold up, wait. I'll be God real quick. Hold up. You know, I found some cash, I took it from my daughter. Don't judge me. All right, let's, what we got? Let's give you 40? You want 40? Okay. You better use my gift. Hallelujah. You look like you deserve 20. And you know I ain't giving you more than 2, bro. I love you. What am I trying to show here? Is that God gives us all opportunity. What are you doing with your opportunity? What are you doing with what God gave you? You didn't earn it. You didn't work for it. What are you doing with your opportunity? Are you Gio complaining about how much Dewan got? You don't know what Dewan had to do to earn that 40. Are you complaining about how much Dean has? His years of service, his years of commitment. And most of us feel like, Lord, I only got $2. But what are you doing with it? What are you doing with your opportunity? What does your opportunity look like? I may have to switch. Your opportunity. What are you doing with the things that God has equipped you with? When we look at the $40, it's like, oh, that's only for this person. That's only for the person that stays in South County. But in North City, we only get $2. Or in East St. Louis, we only get $5. But God has given us all responsibility. What will you do with your opportunity? Do you got it? Will you give it? Will you work it, or will you sow it? Small hinges swing big doors. I'm going to say that again. Small hinges swings big doors. Y'all can go back to y'all seat. Go work your gift real quick. Small hinges swing big doors. So when we go back to the text, here's the last part. After he's given you the opportunity, he leaves. Some of y'all in the middle of the test right now, and God is quiet because the teacher doesn't talk when it's time for the test. Testing is the season when the enemy comes to make distractions in your life. Testing, when he leaves, is your opportunity to master, your opportunity to excel. But we forget, and who can be honest, in a season in their life, you wasted your opportunity. Okay, we got four honest people, and the rest are still lying. We're going to pray for you. Just say, I wasted my opportunity. Both hands, no shame. Don't be scared. I've wasted my opportunity. But there's grace. No conditions, no judgment, just love. But he's left. And we complain, and we have issues, but don't waste it. Matthew 25 and 16, it says, right off, Dewan goes and went to work. And what did he do? Doubled that thing. Then Dean went off and did the same thing. So what stands out to me in this passage? Expectation. When God gives you something, there's an expectation behind it. Think about this question. What did you do with what I gave you? What did you do with those beautiful kids of yours? Those healthy kids of yours? How long you prayed for those kids? And now they feel more like a burden versus a blessing. We met at the altar. You prayed and you announced your vows, and now you don't want to be married no more. Expectation. The job you fasted for, the job you prayed for and God gave it to you, and you're still complaining. Expectation. What are you going to do what God has given to you? See, many of us trip, we have issues, we're frustrated, we're complaining. And in Psalms 90:17, it says this, may the favor of the Lord, our God, rest on us, who's established the work of our hands. He is not just going to do it. He's going to establish the works of your hand. God wants us all to just be great on our current level. Are you willing to be great? No competition. He wants you to be excellent. Excellent means being the best version of me. I can look back and say, in January 1, 2019 versus November, right now, I'm different. I'm better. I'm willing to be excellent. And that's what the it factor is all about. Stewardship. Y'all are quiet. Oh, gosh. Who said it was great? All right, I'll get you a dollar after service. Hallelujah. God said, I'll give you the power to get wealth. I won't give it to you. But I got the power. I will bless the works of your hand. Where are my men at real quick? They've been working for a long time. Let's see what they've done. So I want you to talk on the mic because I want you to tell the people what you've been able to do. Dewan, you've been gone about 5 minutes, and 5 minutes is about 500 days in the Lord's house. What have you done with your gift?
Well, I saved and increased. I believe in his message and his word. And I believe Philippians 4:19 says, God meets all my needs according to his riches of Jesus Christ. So I believe that in keeping with his word, he's always going to bless us.
But what did you do with my $20? That sounds good. Yeah. I've heard a lot of people quote scripture.
Yeah.
But what did you do? Matter of fact, it's $20. I gave you $40.
You gave me $40.
What did you do with my $40?
I stashed the $40. I put it up for savings, worked hard.
So where's my money?
Oh, you wanted it back?
Yeah. I want to see how much you got. Oh. I want to see how much you got.
Oh, yeah. Actually, I saved and I got $80.
So you took my $40
and I doubled it.
And gave me 100% return? Hold up. For people like that, you're not just great.
Absolutely.
Now you're a partner. You can roll with me any day. You ain't a servant no more. You're a partner. We're going to get this right. My man. Next up, Dean, what'd you do with my money, homie? What you been doing? Okay.
Well, you know how it is. I went and bought me like 20 chickens.
Okay.
And I started raising these chickens.
Chickens?
And I sold all the eggs.
The Popeye's chicken?
I sold all the eggs. No, not the Popeye's
okay.
chicken.
Okay, just making sure. Okay.
But I've been selling eggs, and I made that 20 into 40.
Show me. So you gave me 100% return, too? My man, you are a partner too, bro. I got one for you too. Rolling with my homies. It should fit you.
Hey, hold on.
There you go. Help your brother out. Don't let go of the money, bro.
Don't let go of it.
All right, so I believe by faith, Gio, because I gave you the less amount, I'm ready to hear a great testimony in the Lord. What'd you do with my money?
Well... So I knew it was only a couple of dollars. And I had an opportunity to maybe make some more, but I ain't want to lose the couple of dollars, so I passed up on it. And then another opportunity came by, but I was really scared of letting that couple of dollars go because I was afraid you'd get mad if I lost it. So I just kind of kept it and didn't really do much with it because I was afraid of losing it. So I only got the couple of dollars.
You ain't getting a shirt. I'm about to get some. I got my rocks from last week, bro. For real, though. How many of us act like Gio? We sit here and we watch Dean get chickens. We go in our silo and we begin to dig a hole. Most of us sit up and say, Lord, I need another blessing. And guess what the Holy Spirit said? Just for y'all mean folks, nuts. Jump to the next one, we'll come back. I need a blessing. God said, be a blessing. I need more money. What you doing with the money you got? I need more time. You single. You got the most time you ever had. I need more time. You done got married. Both of y'all ain't paying rent no more. And you still digging holes? You ask for margin. And you're trying to please the wrong people. I've done it before. Couldn't afford a car, so I fleeced it. Also known as leased it. Worked very hard, bought a house to show off for people that didn't care. And God said, didn't you want to do ministry? Didn't you want to start a business? And you said yes, because it got pre-approved? You're digging a hole. Y'all can go back to your seat. I want my money back too, though. You're digging a hole. Why would God give you more if you're not using what you got? Stewardship is what God is after. So it's perspective. Many of us, the biggest enemy, the biggest trick that God plays on us is the debt trap. Don't raise your hand. I got my first credit card in college because I wanted a t-shirt. with 33% interest on it, the debt trap. And that 500 balance came into 1200. The enemy is coming to distract. I got a t-shirt before. I got a free sandwich, hallelujah. All in the name of debt. And God is saying, and I'm here praying, Lord, I need a blessing. And he's saying, you need to be a blessing first. So here's the motto. If you're in debt, if you're asking God for more, here's a slogan that I want everyone to abide by. Use it up, wear it out, make it do, or do without. Use it up, wear it out, make it do, or do without. Can we all say it together? How about that? On the count of three. One, two, three. Use it up, wear it out, make it do, or do without. I need you to be a prophet. Look to your neighbor because they didn't get it. Look them dead in the eyes. And I want you to say it to them on the count of three. One, two, three. Use it up, wear it out, make it do, or do without. Hallelujah. That ain't gonna make nobody run around the church, but it's right. We use it a little bit. We wait for the next opportunity, and we trade stuff in too fast. Use it up, wear it out, make it do, or do without. Verse 24, it says, Gio was like, see, what happened was, I was like, thinking about it, I could have, I would have, I should have, but you didn't. I was afraid that I might disappoint you. So I found a good hiding place to secure your money. Here it is, safe and sound, down to the last cent. What God is saying here, when you look at Gio, God will ask you for your passport. And he would go to the back page, and when you give excuses like that, you find your stamp for your last vacation, which was procrastination. Or lazy nation. Where are you from? St. Lazy. The Bible is very clear about his perspective on laziness. No more games. You were afraid. Sometimes we got to just do stuff afraid. Every week, probably about Saturday night, I'm like, Lord Jesus, you want me to preach? You want me to talk to these people? You're putting me responsible to deliver your word? And guess what he told me? Do it afraid. Do it in honor. Do it in reverence. Because some things, our first few experiences, you're going to be afraid. But you got to go for it. You got to use it. You got to make it work. You have to make it happen. Tony Evans said it like this: your greatest need is God's greatest concern. Sometimes we get caught up and we think we're all in this by ourselves. And God is trying to say, I got your back. Now, the clear word, it doesn't say your greatest want. The stuff that you want, you may have to have some patience, some temperance. You may have to wait because the Bible talks about seed, time, and harvest. But what he does guarantee is that he'll meet the need when we put him first, which means that we are good stewards over our gift. Matter of fact, the Bible says to seek his kingdom, what? First. And what? His righteousness. Don't forget that part. And all things will be added unto you. So God cares. He's willing to meet your needs. But what are we doing with our gift? Amen. Not a lot of claps today. Not a lot of, I feel that. Not a lot of preach black man. None of that. But it's okay though. We good. All right. We're almost done. Ooh, 12, 16. I need 10 more minutes. Y'all good? Hallelujah. It's going to snow tomorrow. I'm going to take my time. Yes, Lord. Anyway, so verse number 26, let's go number 26. Now, here's the part of God that we, the grace movement, have made us forget. It says the master, which is God, was angry. He was furious. He was turned up. And he said, that is a terrible way to live. He said, it's criminal for you to live so cautiously like that. If you knew I was after the best, why did you do less than the least? When you dig a hole, you're doing less than the least. I'm tired of seeing people that are not in the kingdom where it's God's principles and see a return, and we're sitting back waiting on Jesus. And then it goes on and says, here's the part that tore me up. Verse number 29. I think I skipped the verse, but we're good. He said, take the 1,000 and give it to the person that risked the most. Give it to the person that risked the most. Now, this is hard for me. I'm a plan B guy. Probably 98% of my decisions, I have a plan B. Move to St. Louis, I got a plan B. Keep your job, just in case they hate you, you can go back to Florida. Plan B. Anybody else plan B type of people? I'll wait until the Lord gives me an alternate route. But he said, give it to the person that was willing to risk the most. How do you increase? Are you willing to risk? Caution, read the fine print. Make sure God is the one that told you to do it. But he said, give it to the person that risked the most. Don't give it to Dewan. Don't give it to Dean. Give it to Dewan. He had $40 and he said, you know what? I'm going all in for Jesus. He told me to do it. I'm not holding back. He told me to do it because I believe in abundance. I believe in not making a second chance. Normally, most of the time, I have a B, I have a C, I have an emergency fund. I got an emergency fund to the emergency fund. I got that she money, the money that Aldine doesn't know nothing about, because I'm risk averse. We don't want to move. But God is saying when he calls you to come forth, you got to go all in. Stewardship means all in. Somebody named Michael Todd told me that it's called crazy faith. Miss Sharon prayed this morning, and what did you call it? Blazing faith? Radical faith. All in. No plan B. So here's the thing. I believe most of the people in here, when it comes to stewardship, are struggling in one of the five areas. Number one, with your gift, you're complaining instead of cultivating. You're acting like it's insignificant, and God is saying, be a good steward over it. Cultivate it. There's more available for you, but he wants you to work the thing that you have in your life. What's number two? Let me just bring it up. God is saying that you're spending. You're not managing the things that I've given you, so you can't invest. So when it's time for tithes and offering, it's like gnashing of teeth. But you have to be able to invest in your future. Scarcity mindset versus abundance. Number three. You're procrastinating instead of preparing. You're waiting on this person. You're waiting for validation. And God is saying, just prepare. Are you willing to just respond on what I told you to do? Number four, you're hoarding versus sharing. God gave it to me. Nobody else can have it. And God told you to share that gift. Share it. Share it. Share it. Number five. You're operating from a place of fear versus in faith. You're seeing the problem versus seeing the promise. You're looking at the enemy versus looking at him. You're looking at the past versus looking forward. So what will you commit to do with your gift? Are you willing to use it, or is it worth losing it? Is it worth seeing God take something that was for you and giving it to somebody else? Say, give it to that person. They're willing to risk it. Give it to that person. They're all in. Give it to that person. But they're not only a steward, but I call them a soldier. They've transitioned from slave. They transitioned from steward. But God has said, soldiers, and even more than that, we're sons. He knows your name, and we are his friend, and there's better available, and we can increase if we're willing to give it. Stand to your feet. Is that my last one, or I got one more? I forgot. And when you shift from that abundance mindset, from your former scarcity mindset, the last word is God wants to bless it. And when he blesses it, there's 30. When he blesses it, there's 60. When he blesses it, there's 100 or even 1,000 folds. When you say, Lord, this is all I got, and I'm giving it to you. Lord, this is all I got, and I'm giving it to your people. If you could go back to the next slide, and I'm going to ask everyone to bow their heads real quick. Many of us are sitting here today, and I can look you dead in the eye, and I see so much ahead for you. But you're operating from a place of scarcity. You're allowing the past and others to be able to name you, to prevent you from what God has in store for you. The best can be yet to come in your life, but you have to be willing to move forward. So, dear Heavenly Father, I just thank you.